We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Maria Boynton. In this edition of Atlanta Up Close, my guest today is Deborah Watts. She is a cousin to Emmett Till, of course, the 14-year-old young African-American boy who was murdered back in 1955, stemming from the claims of a white woman who said that Emmett had done some things to her and made some gestures toward her, had even grabbed her. And it led to his being grabbed one night by some white men, and he was shot, bludgeoned to death. And it's a historical fact. It's one of the most notorious crimes in our nation's history. Deborah Watts, a cousin of Emmett Till, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Maria. It's great to be here. Now,
let's tell folks some things about you. You're co-founder of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. Now, what is that?
Yes, yes. Well, the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation was established in 2005. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And basically to preserve the memory and the legacy of Emmett Lewis Till. Emmett was murdered in 1955, as you mentioned. And his death, the miscarriage of justice, his mother deciding to have an open casket funeral, the acquittal of the murderers, all started and was a spark that galvanized the nation and started the civil rights movement. And so we think it's important to tell his story. We think it's important to talk about the bravery and the courage that his mother had and to preserve that memory so that we don't repeat the past. It's a horrific past and one that we think if we continue to tell the story, if we continue to create this legacy of hope, and continue to identify opportunities for young people that Emmett didn't have a chance to experience, that we'll be making a difference in our community and hopefully turning the tide and not allowing the clock to be turned back.
And the reason we're here today is because the white woman who said that Emmett had done these things to her, which led to his death,
yes.
She is now apparently recanting. And I want to ask you about your relation to Emmett Till. Now, what's your relation to him?
Yes, Emmett Till is my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Our great-grandfathers, Joe Smith and George Smith, which was his great-grandfather, they're brothers. And our family has been close over the course of years and for generations. And so, yes, that's how we're related.
What did your family teach you about Emmett?
They shared with us the tragedy,
mm-hmm.
of course, but I discovered it in a very odd way when I was a toddler. I saw Mamie Till Mobley, who had traveled across the country with the NAACP, speaking about what happened to her only son. She happened to visit my hometown in Nebraska, and I saw her at the podium. My mother had taken me there with her, and I saw her standing at a podium talking about Emmett Till,
mm-hmm.
and the tragedy. And there was a small booklet that was made available to some of our family members. And after her presentation, I was able to take a look at that booklet. And as a toddler, I became outraged, at what I saw and saddened by what I saw. And so I tore up that book. Later discovering and retaining one of the copies, but discovering that, this was a historical incident that happened. It was one that the nation had stood up and spoke out about. And
galvanized
and
the nation.
Galvanized. And, it started the civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to make this connection with Mamie, my shero, because of the courage that she had to speak out about her son and to seek justice. And I understood that there was injustice, there. at an early age, not really clearly knowing what I could do about it, but knowing that sometime in the future, I would be working on something to help to not allow this ugly part of our past history to become the present. And so promised that to Mamie and started the foundation, you know, in 2005 because of it, using some quotes from her in 1989 at the opening of the Civil Rights Memorial as one of our mission statements.
So you got to know Mamie well.
I did. Our family was close. We had family reunions and wonderful opportunities to come together, whether it was for something happy, you know, a happy occasion and sad occasions with funerals as well. Our family supported each other. And so Mamie being a cousin and her mother being very close with my great-grandfather, they would both often visit our city. His grandmother was part of the Church of God in Christ, mm-hmm. and there was a large congregation in Omaha, Nebraska. And so they would visit there often. But again, with family reunions and other occasions, we had a chance oftentimes to come together. And as I was matriculating through, you know, college, also through my professional life, I often visit Chicago and spent time with Mamie and her husband.
You're listening to Atlanta Up Close. My guest today is Deborah Watts, a cousin of Emmett Till, the 14-year-old boy who was murdered in 1955, Mississippi. A woman linked to his murder? Well, now she's telling a historian. The historian's name is Timothy B. Tyson. She is telling him that her claims were false. And of course, we learned about that in a Vanity Fair magazine article. He has written a book now, The Blood of Emmett Till, of course. And I want to ask you, Deborah, when you heard that the woman, whose name is Carolyn Bryant, when you heard that she had broken her silence, now it's been, what, almost 62 years.
Yes.
When you heard that she had broken her silence, what'd you think?
Well, first of all, it's a sad day because, you know, Mamie spent 47 years trying to seek the truth. And it would have been, I think, wonderful if she had the courage and the dignity to share this information, share her truths back then. But of course, you know, in the court of law, you know, where she perjured herself and with the statute of limitations, there was no time, you know, to go back and charge her with that. But we've known all along that Carolyn Bryant lied. There was no way that Emmett could have committed the kind of acts that she claimed that he committed. Emmett had a stuttering problem. His mother taught him to whistle, you know, when he got stuck on a word.
Mm-hmm.
But all the acts that she claimed that he did were untrue. And that was discovered through her testimony. We knew that. And when the case was reopened in 2004, we had great hopes that there would be this discovery and that she would be indicted. But that didn't occur. So we've known all along this was not a surprise to us, and disappointed that she had not had the dignity or the courage to share her truths with us or with Mamie Till Mobley, Emmett's mother.
Carolyn Bryant, during the trial back in 1955, said that young Emmett Till, who was 14 years old, grabbed her and was menacing and sexually crude toward her. And you mentioned that he had a speech impediment. His mother told them, my son couldn't have said those things the way she said he said those things. She said that Emmett talked about what they did to white women up north.
Right.
All of that.
Right.
And then we know that he was kidnapped by some men. Two white men were taken to trial for his death, one being Carolyn Bryant's husband. And they were found not guilty. The jury deliberated, what, an hour? They were found not guilty.
Yes.
They did not hear her testimony, though the defense attorney put it on the record. He wanted
exactly.
it on the record in case they were found guilty and he needed to appeal the case. Now we're hearing that Carolyn Bryant is saying that didn't happen. She's saying it didn't happen. She's saying that your cousin, Emmett Till, did not grab her, was not menacing or sexually crude toward her.
Right.
Which led to his being kidnapped, bludgeoned to death, shot in the head, thrown into what, the Tallahatchie River?
Yes. 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 His death, I mean, just the horrific nature of what happened to Emmett. And if you read the confession, you know, they actually confessed.
Yeah, they did.
Shared their story, were paid for approximately $4,000,
yeah.
Look Magazine,
mm-hmm.
And I believe it was William Bradford Huey was the one that acquired their statement.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look closely at why they murdered Emmett, it was for three major reasons. One was for, they said, you know, that they wanted to use him as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wanted to make sure that education, that from an educational perspective, that, you know, children, black children didn't go to school with white children. They wanted to make sure that relationships between whites and blacks, particularly interracial relationships, or that, you know, that they wouldn't occur. And that voting, that if we had the opportunity to vote, we would control the government.
Mm-hmm.
So their act was based on fear. Their act was based on what they felt about African Americans from a white supremacist perspective. Now, two things I do want to say is that Simeon Wright, my cousin Simeon Wright, mm-hmm. and Wheeler Parker were both with Emmett. And so while they were in and out of that store, there was only like a minute's worth of time that he had. So there was no way that he could do the things that she claimed that he did. Now, mm-hmm. he did actually whistle. And Simeon and Wheeler have actually proven, or they've admitted that is actually what happened.
He whistled to her?
He whistled actually at Carolyn Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
She had exited the store, and he actually did whistle at her, and they are witnesses to that.
Mm-hmm.
But none of those things, a whistle, purchasing gum, or whatever items, they don't warrant the murder and the kidnapping of a 14-year-old.
And then she went on to say other things, that
exactly.
He grabbed her.
Exactly. So 3 days later, here they are told this story, and they go seeking Emmett, you know, and they find him, they kidnapped him, and they did all those horrific things to this young man as a way to prove something and to put, I think, fear in the hearts and minds of others in that community. So Emmett's murder represents much more than just him whistling, and much more than what she, the lie, you know, as well. Although we're just, you know, very disappointed that it took her this long to admit it.
What matters to you now?
It matters that we know the truth, that Carolyn Bryant needs to come clean with everything that happened. There were individuals that were involved with the kidnapping of Emmett Till. There was a testimony by Mose Wright, you know, whose home where Emmett was kidnapped, that there was someone in the truck that night. Couldn't prove it,
mm-hmm.
but I want Carolyn to answer the question, were you in that truck that night,
mm-hmm.
when Emmett was identified and they sped off with him and they kidnapped him? She should be able to, I think, account for what actually happened, because, you know, she was there. You know, she was able to come up with these, you know, these other lies, you know, in terms of what happened. She could see that they had this heightened level, you know, of anger, where they were intentionally wanting to bring harm to him. And so to be a part of that, I want to know, when, you know, what your role was in that. Now, of course, she's probably not going to incriminate herself. But if she has an opportunity to speak with the family and the public, because the public is outraged right now,
mm-hmm.
but speak to us about what actually happened. We really want to know the truth. Mamie Till Mobley, Emmett's mother, wanted to know the truth. You know, that's basically what we want. The other thing, too, is I want to know what's in her memoirs. You know, she has written some memoirs. She reached out. Someone in her family reached out to Timothy Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
And these memoirs right now are held at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hills, in the library.
Yeah, but we won't know until, 2036?
2036, when they are publicly released. And so I'd love to know what her you know, her comments were, or what's there. What story is she telling? And I hope it's the truth. And I'd love to be able to sit down with her, and our family and other members would love to know what's, you know, what's contained in those memoirs. And then the other thing, too, if there is a possibility of prosecution, Carolyn Bryant needs to stand trial.
She'd be, what, about 82 now?
82 now. But it doesn't matter. You know, this was a wrong that was committed. And now she's admitting to the lie. And so she needs to right the wrongs. She owes the public that. And so if there's any way to prosecute her, which I doubt, but, you know, hopefully, you know, with legal minds that are out there, maybe listening to this broadcast and other people that we have worked with in the past, Alvin Sykes with the Emmett Till Justice Campaign, Keith Beauchamp and others, they know our sentiments and they know that a miscarriage of justice has occurred. And now with Carolyn and everyone knowing, and those folks I mentioned knew all along that she lied, having an opportunity to seek justice is something that we want. Now, how that gets carried out with the FBI or the Department of Justice, we have no idea. But we're hoping that something can be done. And beside that, if it can't, she needs to address the family. And at a very, very minimum, she needs to apologize.
Talking to Deborah Watts, a cousin of Emmett Till, 14 years old, young African-American male, was kidnapped from a family's home in 1955, all because 3 days earlier he had whistled at a white woman. And then she claimed that he had grabbed her, was menacing and sexually crude toward her. Now we're learning 62 years later after his death that she's saying that didn't happen. That didn't happen. What do you feel towards Carolyn Bryant?
Yeah, I feel sad for her that she didn't feel compelled enough, you know, having sons herself and having lost a son, to admit the truth back then or to set the record straight years ago and to live with that lie and to live with understanding how her husband and his half-brother murdered Emmett and the whole miscarriage of justice. She has to have a feeling of guilt. So I feel sad, you know, for her, but I'm also hopeful that she will come forward. She's 82 years of age right now, and she should set the record straight. She should come clean. She should clear her conscience and speak the truth. So I'm very hopeful, and there's not much more in terms of emotional feelings that I have for her other than trying to uncover the truth. She's the pathway, you know, to our healing. She's the pathway to us better understanding what actually happened and her role in it. Also, she has a place in history that she has, that she can correct some things. There's historical documentation mm-hmm. that provides her testimony, you know, which was a lie. And so that needs to be corrected as well. So I think she, you know, even though she's 82, she can start right now, you know, with setting the record straight and correcting those things. And I think formulating an apology to our family.
Deborah Watts, you are co-founder of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation, which has accomplished some great things. And I want to say, too, about President Obama. He, of course, signed the Emmett Till Unsolved Civil Rights Crimes Reauthorization Act of 2016.
Yes, yes.
Now, what does that do?
Well, that bill was responsible for investigating cold cases that occurred like Emmett's, those that were racially motivated. That bill was first passed in 2008 mm-hmm. by President Bush. It was expiring in 2017. And so with working with a coalition of individuals, along with our congressional leaders, John Lewis being one, and Sensenbrenner, along with Senator Burr, and others, Conyers and others, we were able to get the Reauthorization Act passed, and then it was signed into law by President Obama. Hopefully, those murders that have occurred over years, we'll have a chance to investigate them. There'll be some accountability, there'll be some transparency, mm-hmm. and this particular reauthorization will now, the former bill was over a span of time of 10 years to investigate cases over 10 years mm-hmm. with appropriations of several millions of dollars established. But now this is going to take it from 1969, when that first bill ended, mm-hmm. through 1979. Okay. So cases like the Atlanta Five,
which we originally knew what as the Pensacola five?
Yeah, they traveled to Pensacola on a fishing trip, and one of their couple of their remaining daughters are investigating and trying to get some answers. And these families, a multitude of families, are looking for answers. Things that happened, you know, to their families. They disappeared in the middle of the night, and some were murdered with no justice. And so with that, they're owed that. And so this bill, signed by President Obama, will hopefully allow for those investigations in the FBI to investigate and open those cases up.
Your work, so much of it. We talked about the Reauthorization Act of 2016. Because of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation, other things have been accomplished as well.
Well, yes. You know, over the course of 10 years, we have tried to share the story and preserve the memory of Emmett. And we do that in a number of ways. We have a signature documentary that we show called Who Killed Emmett Till. It was actually directed by a talented director by the name of Ray Metoyer. Also, we have created something called The Power of History, Turning Tragedy into Triumph, where we take that same documentary and then a panel of individuals, filmmakers, including Keith Beauchamp and others, family members as well, who were witnesses and those that choose to be involved in this. But we will assemble them and take them to different places, whether it's colleges, you know, college campuses or universities, along with even in private homes and on high schools and other places, churches as well, to just share the story and to give people an idea of what actually happened then, but then to talk about what has been inspired, what this whole case of injustice has inspired in each of us, and that is our activism. You know, that is there are movies that are now going to be created by, you know, Will Smith, Jay-Z are working on something. Keith Beauchamp is working with Whoopi Goldberg. The books that were co-written by Mamie Till Mobley are now being turned into movies. Mm-hmm. The play that she wrote with David Barr is being turned into a movie. So we know that this legacy is going to continue, and we want to be a part of that. We have a unique position to share this story. This is part of our family. And so we each have taken on the task of trying to move that forward. We also recognize women who have had the same kind of courage that Mamie has had in an event called Loving from the Inside Out. It's a women's empowerment symposium. Mm-hmm. And over the past few years, we've recognized a number of powerful women who've had the same kind of courage that Mamie had, that they don't get the notoriety or they don't get the recognition. And so we recognize them. We also have an event gives youth an opportunity to speak out, and it's called Hear My Voice, Are You Listening? And it's a chance for them to hear from elders, hopefully that can pass the baton on to them and inspire them to move forward in their activist nature. And then we have something that we do on Emmett's birthday and on the anniversary of his death, and it's called A Time for Unity, Never Again. It's a Never Again movement and pledge. We ask people to wear black and white as a silent way to share that it's time for unity, it's time to right wrongs in our society, and it's time to change the hearts and minds of others. And by wearing these powerful colors, black and white, I think it's a reminder to all of us. And the Never Again movement and pledge was actually created by young people. And we want to move that forward and make sure that we have this covenant with each other about establishing and standing up for peace, justice, and equality.
When you hear that African-American males, young men, are being shot and killed during confrontations with police, what do you think in relation to what happened to your cousin?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it reminds us, you know, of the injustice, particularly when there's no accountability for those murders, particularly when there's this assumption of their guilt and that their lives don't matter, you know. And I think that's the sad part of what's transpiring, you know, in our country today, and that is black lives don't matter. Emmett's life didn't matter to Roy Bryant and J.W. Milam. It didn't matter to Carolyn Bryant, who lied, you know, on him. regardless of the Jim Crow laws at that time. So how do we as a country move away from that part of the DNA that's in our society? This is part of America's DNA. And so how can we sit here today in 2017 and be comfortable with young men being shot? I don't care if it's by police. There's no justification for most of those killings. There's no justification for most of them. I know that there have been investigations. There have been grand juries that have not indicted those police officers. And so with that, I think we can do better as a country. And it saddens me that we're still talking about this today.
And we hear that Carolyn Bryant is recanting her story about your cousin Emmett Till. Deborah Watts, do you harbor any ill will toward her?
You know, I don't. I don't have the energy, you know, to do that. But I do have the interest in pursuing justice and the interest in pursuing the truth from Carolyn Bryant. And that's what I want. And I think she owes that to us. She owes that to our family. She owes that to the country. She owes that to the nation. And I think Carolyn Bryant can speak volumes to white supremacists who are still harboring some of those same feelings that her husband and his half-brother had back in 1955. She can be maybe a spokesperson that can talk about that environment and how we're seeing a repeat of it today, you know, with the whole the division, you know, in our country. We know where that comes from. It's the same kind of thing that was in our DNA and in our society back in 1955. So Carolyn, I believe, can be, you know, a person that can hopefully speak out, you know, against some of those things. She knows that the harm that was done by her lie, and she can see the harm that's done by lies continuing today.
How can people learn more about the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation?
Great question. We have Facebook, Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. We also have Twitter. Our Twitter handle is at Emmett Till, and that's EmmettTill. We also have Instagram. Our Instagram handle is Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. We have a website as well, and we're available. You know, we'll go. We are accessible and are actually on tour right now with the two programs that I talked about, the Power of History, Turning Tragedy into Triumph. And we're willing to go wherever we're invited to share this story and to share our lives and what we know about Mamie, what we know about Emmett, and also creating this legacy of hope.
Deborah Watts, cousin of Emmett Till. She is the co-founder of the Emmett Till Legacy Foundation. Been talking about a woman linked to the 1955 murder of her cousin Emmett Till, has now apparently told a historian that what she said about Emmett Till was not true. Deborah Watts, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Maria. It's been great to be here and an honor.
I'm Maria Boynton. You've been listening to Atlanta Up Close.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.